Well, this episode is airing. VO Atlanta just ended yesterday.
Nice.
So I'm probably editing on the plane home.
Welcome back.
Excellent. So yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. And we'll be recording a new one tomorrow or the next day.
We'll see.
We better. This is the last one we'll have in the can. So tools and apps and things. That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Yes. Don't be toys. A tool. Oh, that. Right. What? Okay.
Easy.
No, I was thinking like business tools and applications and things that we use.
Let's talk.
To make business work and keep your stuff safe and so forth.
Okay.
Should I start?
Feel free to begin.
Okay, I'll start with the very first thing that I think everybody should have, and that's a password manager. Because most people don't use secure enough passwords, and a password manager makes that easy.
Yeah.
So the one that I recommend is...
Hang on.
You gotta write it down.
I gotta write this.
Write it down. It's not being recorded at all.
I'm gonna write this down in my password journal.
Yeah.
Wait, have you seen those?
No.
Oh, my God. So you can buy them like on Amazon or if you go to an actual physical bookstore.
Uh-huh.
It's like, really? You remember the little black book, you know?
Yep. Yeah, of course.
Phone book. Same idea, but it's for passwords. Like, come on. Are you kidding me? You might as well just put a freaking Post-it on your screen and then hand your keys to your neighbor and, you know, let them come and steal your bank account. I mean, come on.
Wow.
May as well.
Yeah, I might as well. Here. Let me just hand out $100 bills to everybody. Why not?
All right. So what's the name of the one that you recommend?
So there's a lot of them. There's 1Password and there's LastPass and there's a whole bunch of them. The one that I like is called Bitwarden. Now, part of the reason I like it is because it can be self-hosted, which I do because I don't want to have to trust somebody else to maintain my stuff. So I have full control over the encrypted vault and all that. But that's not for everybody.
Nerd.
Well, yeah. That's, you know, my day job for 20 years. So, duh.
Yeah, but what about us simple folk?
You simple folk can just go to bitwarden.com. Here's the other reason I like it. It's free. For
what?
A personal account, it's free.
Really?
Yeah, and you can install it on unlimited devices. It works on every brand of phone, every brand of computer, Linux, Windows, Mac, everything. Works everywhere. You install it as a browser extension. It's available for all the major browsers.
But it's not easy, right?
What do you mean? It's super easy.
Isn't that the one you said that was...
If you self-hosted, it's less easy.
Self-hosting. Okay.
If you use this, it's whatever. It's simple. You set it up.
Okay.
You install the browser extension. You install the app on your phone.
Right.
And then you only need to remember 1 password ever. Just make sure it's a good one for that tool.
Not password 123?
Yeah, no, not that. Not that. No. Something
okay,
good.
Not a password 123.
Yes, not
Fine.
That.
Just write it in caps and exclamation point.
Yeah, and write it in leet speak with zeros and whatever. Yeah,
there you go.
That'll work. So that would be the first tool that I would recommend that everybody install and use because it costs you nothing and it improves your security and you don't have to worry about like, oh, somebody got my password and took over my Twitter account and, you know, whatever.
Now, here's a question for you.
Okay.
You replace your computer. Do you have to reload it or does it follow you around? Obviously, like when you change upgrade phones.
Right. So it's in the cloud.
Okay.
So all the passwords that you store are in the encrypted vault in the cloud.
Okay.
Okay.
So it does follow you. Yeah.
Yeah. You would still have to install, you know, the browser extension on the new computer.
Of course.
Or on your new phone.
But the information that you have stored.
Everything's stored. Yeah.
Nice.
So then you just log in and you're good.
Bitwarden. Got it.
And so what it does is it associates your username and password with a particular login.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to that site, like say Google, I've got, I don't know how many Google accounts.
No lie.
The little number badge shows up on the browser extension up on the address bar, like 5 or whatever. And that's how many logins you have. And then you just like pick the one you want and it'll fill in the fields.
Nice and easy.
It's wonderful. And then you can also store other things. So if you wanted to store just a note that is in your encrypted vault, you can do that. I've got my TSA PreCheck ID stored in a note.
One of the greatest inventions ever. Love TSA PreCheck.
Yeah, it was even better when not as many people used it.
Yeah, it was. But it's great.
Now the line's about as long as everything else.
Now you have to get clear.
Yeah. which apparently I get credit for with my credit card. So that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely a nice benefit.
I mean, I guess that qualifies, right? Clear and TSA and all those other pre-check things. Those qualify as a tool or an app, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that if you're going to travel. Yeah.
You better.
The amount of time that I save, and I don't travel that much, but the amount of time that I save going through security with that is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good for like 5 years. So
it's the best $80 you can spend.
Yeah.
It's also good for concerts and events at certain venues.
Really?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Because TSA is at some of those now, too. Yeah.
I know that when we were checking into Citi Field in New York, they have clear sections as well. So that was kind of nice.
Interesting.
So I saw this on some Facebook group. I don't remember which one, but they were talking about how long you should keep your auditions.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that, too.
So, I mean, I have a collection, unfortunately, quite a collection of hard drives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I pay way too much for other cloud storage from Apple as well as Google.
Sure.
They all, like, I'm paying more for cloud services than I probably should, but
sure.
It's one of those things. It's almost like all those photos that you get on your phone.
Yeah.
Like I have 25,000 photos just on my phone alone, not including the ones that I've already uploaded and archived.
Oh, my gosh.
Good Lord. How many of those are small dogs?
Probably 24,986. And the rest are baseball photos.
Okay. I was going to say the rest are your kid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful.
Well, my little fuzzy dogs are, you know, they're my children too. So there's that. But yeah, I have a lot of dog pictures and cats and yeah, just too many things like that.
So yeah, I answered that question on Facebook and I said I keep everything forever because storage is cheap and I have a lot of it.
I don't have cheap storage. Where are you keeping?
Because
it's not that cheap.
Well, external hard drives are pretty cheap.
Oh, you have physical externals?
Well, mine are actually internal. So I've got a custom-built machine that it's a Hackintosh, which is going away eventually because the Apple Silicon, that's no longer a thing. So it's a custom-built machine that runs the Mac operating system.
Right.
And I have 8 terabytes of storage.
That ought to be enough.
Inside? Yeah.
Just inside.
I've got an 8-terabyte RAID array in the machine. And then I have another, like, external. I've got another... God, I don't know, 12 maybe? I don't even have it turned on. I don't turn it on because that thing just constantly spins up and down, and the sound is just annoying, so I never even turned it on. But I have
it. You have it if you need it.
If I need it, yeah. And then I also have network storage, and I've got 20 terabytes total there.
Crap.
Something like that.
I know, right? Yeah. I have Post-it notes. I keep a lot of things on Post-it notes.
The problem with that, though, is that it's all physical, which is fine, but it's all here. So if, you know, my house blows up or whatever, then it's all gone. So I need to get something stored in the cloud somewhere or just offsite. Even if I just made a copy of a hard drive and, like, drove it across town, that would be fine. My hard drives degrade, though, so that's not really the best long-term forever solution. The best long-term physical storage is tape, which people think is weird because that's such an old technology, but it's still, it's like the de facto standard is magnetic tape. But if you put it in the cloud, then they're already taking care of that anyway.
I worry about security with that a little bit. However, you know, I'm guilty of not keeping my auditions forever. I just...
Nobody wants to hear my old bad auditions. I don't want to.
I think it could be useful for you if you're ever feeling bad about yourself. You could go listen to an audition from 3 years ago. Go, no, you know, I'm actually doing pretty good.
Who is that guy? He sucks.
What the hell was he thinking?
Yeah.
Or, you know, in some cases, you could listen to one from last week and go, what the hell was I thinking?
What was that about?
Normally.
Yeah.
You know, auditions, I don't think, are as big of a deal necessarily. I mean, you always hear about people, I booked the audition. They just want to use that as the final. Yeah, I suppose that happens sometimes. It doesn't happen very often.
No.
But that's a good reason to keep them, I suppose, for a little while. But that's not going to be something where it's like 2 years later, they go, oh, we loved that audition. We'd just love to use it as is. Can you send us a higher quality? That's not going to happen. It'd be a couple months, maybe.
Yeah.
I keep everything because it's just, I have it. It's easy enough to keep it. It would be more work for me to just go back and delete it. But I also keep my stuff really pretty well organized. So I've got it broken down by year. And then within the year, I've got it by month. And then within the month, I've got auditions, bookings, and demos. And then within the auditions, I've got it broken down by the source. So the agent or the, pay to play or whatever. And then inside of each of those, I've got the name of the thing and my audition. So every single audition I do is its own project.
Yes.
Which which is overkill, I suppose, for some people. But my workflow is so quick that it's not any faster for me to do it separately because I can, when I'm done,
yeah.
I just hit render and it renders out that thing, you know, or if it's something where there's multiple roles that I'm auditioning for on the same project, I might do those in the same project file and then render out regions, because with Reaper, I can just create a region around a section and then use wildcard naming to output different file names per thing. You're making faces like I'm talking about stuff that's just crazy difficult, but it's really, really easy.
No, because I just don't do that. It's like I'll keep the raw audio from bookings, but auditions, bye.
Yeah, you know, but you were just complaining the other day recently about why do they have us name the file with just our name and nothing else? Like, well,
that's why I delete them.
Yeah.
But if it's a different project with a different output directory for each project, then it doesn't matter. You know, unless there's two files for the same thing that have the same name, but I've never had that happen.
I have files for my reps in years.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I get. And then, I mean, this is my filing system. It's not as... And then for anything that I don't feel like dealing with, I put under same name under that rep and or year. So that way, when I'm done recording and I go to save it with, you know, victoriaprather.mp3, and it's like, you've already got too many of those, put it in same name. Because it means, for me, I don't have to like go and dig through the whole directory to find it. It's immediately there within Adobe Audition. So that's easier for me to do that. And then after each audition, I have to go back and like rename it. Like that was for XYZ company. That way it doesn't pop up if I do Victoria Prather _ take one.
That never happens.
Yeah, but see, if you used my system, you wouldn't have to rename anything.
I know, but that's a lot.
It's not a lot.
It's a lot. No.
He's just got lots of practice.
Keyboard shortcut for a new project tab specifically, so it just adds a tab. And it pops up and asks me for the name. I type in the name. It creates the directory. It creates the project in the directory. It creates all the like media folder and all the stuff. I record my thing. I do my edits. I hit render, and it spits out the rendered file into the rendered directory within that project.
Craziness.
And then I hit the show files button on the render window, so it pops open the finder window with where it output to, and I drag and drop that to my email or whatever. And
I get my pay to plays and I file those in Audition.
I get you, Al. Yeah. You and me, we understand this. Sure, Will is next level organized. Yeah.
Well, I used to do that. So when I first started, I had one project that I just left open, and I would, you know, hop on pay to play or whatever, and I'd knock out 15 or 20 auditions, and it would be all in one file, and I'd just render them out from that one file, and they'd all end up in one like uncategorized directory.
Yeah.
And I'd have to go dig through it and find it. And it was easy to find because I would sort it by file creation date. So like the newest file was always on top.
Sure.
Okay.
And I have this directory still. It's, you know, it's got like 500 files in it.
Do you look at it and laugh now?
No, I tend to never look at it again.
There you go.
But
keep it.
But yeah, I still have it.
It's like taxes.
It's not actually, that's not on the computer anymore. I moved that to the network storage, but I still have it.
Although I did hear an incident about auditions and keeping them on file. There was a female voice actor who, because she got the audition, realized the company had used her audition.
And never paid for it.
Never paid her for it. Used her audition for something online. But then when the new like spec went out, it said, oh, we'd like to replace this current version that we have running. And she's like, that's me.
Interesting.
That she was never paid for. So that was a very good reason to have the original audition take. That she had, she had it on file and be like, you never paid me for using my work. And I think she was getting, you know, an attorney lawyering up,
why
if
wouldn't
you will.
You?
I mean, I can't
absolutely.
Imagine.
If you can't resolve it on your own, then absolutely get a lawyer. And because you have proof, that's like any lawyer is going to win that case.
Yeah.
Right.
But, oh, wow. Can you imagine like going to listen to the scratch track? You're like, hang on.
That sounds really familiar.
Oh, I auditioned for that.
I recognize that guy. Who is that? Oh, wait, that's me.
Hang on. I was not paid for that, but thank you.
Yeah.
So
well, and similar, I suppose, with you know, AI clones and stuff these days too, right?
Well, it's, yeah, I think that that's certainly a podcast all on its own, because I think when they're blending and mixing our voices to where we're not able to recognize it, that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Sure.
But in order to not, you know, having the storage solution, a password thing, I really needed that information.
Yeah.
When I got my new phone, because everything, I'll never be able to log into the security camera again. I have to reset it, which is going to reset everything in my house. So I'm like, okay, fine. We'll just leave that camera off. But
yeah, just, I didn't need to know that anyway, anymore.
You know?
Security by obscurity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
people just think that there's a camera there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've done that. I've put the protected by sign out in front of the house.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, do you have fake cameras? Because you can get fake cameras where it's the shell and it's got like a little blinky light on it or whatever.
I kept it there and it's got the light on. Yeah, absolutely. But I try to log in. It's like, yeah, no, you don't remember your password, but you can reset it. You'll just reset your entire security system over. I'm like,
again.
Yeah.
Again, and again.
So besides auditions, I think more importantly is storing your actual client work.
Yes, 100%.
Because they could certainly come back months later and say, oh, you know, we need to make a change. We need to pick up here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we're changing this line. And okay, well, that's going to cost you. But if you've got it, you can open the project back up, go back into it, just punch in,
mm-hmm.
do that change and re-render it and ship it off. And you're not, you know, screwing around trying to recreate it and cut it into some already edited thing or...
Yeah.
So that's a good reason to use, you know, non-destructive editing too, which you don't get, I don't think, unless they've changed it with Audacity.
Mm.
I don't think they have non-destructive. Any effects you apply are just applied.
I think the Series 3 or Version 3, they were making adjustments to it, so it's coming.
Okay.
But I've never had any issues with it. I've always been able to go back to old files, put stuff in. I keep raw. Which makes it so much easier to get back in.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but even just light EQ and, you know, normalization, trying to fit something in later after you've normalized, like, the whole file.
Of course.
Is a bit of a challenge. I mean, you can do it. It's just a volume adjustment, but...
It is.
Well, those are some tools, actually, too, and apps. A lot of folks are using RX Elements. I have it especially. Yeah, those are helpful. But just a slight adjustment, not that you sound completely not like yourself, right?
Sure.
So I would say that, you know, the standard version of RX, Isotope RX, is absolutely worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yes, the Elements version, which is usually like $30, has declicking and denoise.
Yep.
They're kind of generic.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas the standard version has mouth declick and mouth denoise. And they're like magic.
Yeah, they really are.
Incredible. I mean, obviously, ideally, you'd want to just get and stay hydrated and not be clicky in the first
place. There's the de-click right there.
I wish there was stomach degrowl. I would like that. Stomach degrowl. Seriously. I have a really bad habit of recording in the evening, and it seems to be timed specifically, like when my stomach decides to go, hey, we just had this amazing Italian dinner, so we'll be down here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, either that or I haven't eaten. It's either, and that is the worst. I had that the other day. I'm like, oh my, and the only thing that could, and I had no time to go eat. I literally spent time looking on the internet how to get rid of a stomach growling. Drink water.
See, it would have taken less time to just go eat a cracker.
I know. But unfortunately, I'm upstairs and I didn't have time to eat. So I just kept drinking water and it actually worked. But I wish there was a tool. So if someone can build that stomach degrowl, that would just be like its own.
We're on
its own plug-in right there.
$1 billion idea. Victoria wants credit.
I do.
And royalty.
Just run a super high pass.
Well,
yeah, just set your high pass around 10K.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No. I'm trying to think what else I use. Oh, has anybody used, so on the road, maybe it's not relevant anymore. You guys let me know.
Okay.
I had a couple of things happen
No, that's not relevant.
Gosh, I guess it's not relevant. I was going to say, I used to have to have an MP3 converter on my phone, and I didn't pay for it this year because I'm like, I don't think I've used that in a couple of years. There were times, I mean, I had my Beats on and recorded into my phone an audition on the streets of New York in a corner with my, well, like, took my jacket around my head and just did an audition right then and there.
That must have sounded awesome.
It was amazing. They didn't
care.
Did you
book it? Yeah. Did you book it from the audition?
We're just going to use that file.
Yeah, it was
perfect.
I don't know why. But they were very, they were okay with it, though. They were like, we don't care. Just use your phone because it doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Wow.
Okay, it doesn't matter. You sure?
I feel like things have changed a little bit.
Just a bit.
You know, with kind of the requirement of everyone having a quality studio and everything. Like, I think the expectation is that auditions are going to be fairly close to what you would get in the session.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know.
I mean,
you still hear about people booking stuff by recording on their phone, but God, just I can't imagine do it.
I can't. No,
there was somebody who said that at the last conference.
Yeah, I know somebody who did it.
It happens.
The past couple of years, they booked something.
But yeah.
They were on break. They still had a day job. They were on break, and they went out in the car and knocked out a couple auditions on their phone and booked some of them.
Yeah, I look
at my
phone.
They even have had one where they used that audio.
I don't want anything that's on this phone.
Right.
I look at it, it's got a spiderweb crack in the front. I don't know.
So what you're saying is call, don't text?
No,
or not even that.
It's
just
good.
Don't
it's,
call.
It's fine. Don't worry. It's fine.
Everything's wonderful.
But no, I don't have anything like that on my phone. I think I did look into lightweight DAW apps that would run on the phone or tablet at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But I just bring my laptop. I've got a MacBook Air. It's tiny.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's just a standard now, right? Like, we just don't do that, so.
Or here's a wild idea. Take time off and actually disconnect.
What? Huh. I know.
I still occasionally leave the house and leave my cell phone at home.
Hmm. Wow, that I don't do.
Wild, right?
Because I might need to call AAA because I got a flat tire.
Well, the last time I did it was on accident. I was, 5 minutes from the house and went, I didn't bring my phone. All right. It's like being back in the 90s. I'm out and I'm unreachable.
What?
This is great.
I know, it's kind of nice. It is nice to disconnect.
And then you come back to an emergency because you weren't reachable and whatever.
But. That happens.
So you were asking about storage. I assume you were alluding to cloud storage solutions and file transfers, probably. So I've got a app that I run on my cloud server called OwnCloud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the Colossal Gnome?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
So it's just file storage, but it's got a bunch of plugins. You can put like, calendar management and other stuff in there too. And you can hook it up to any S3 compatible storage backend, which everybody has them. Amazon, obviously, S3. Google has one. DigitalOcean has one. And you can plug into that as your file storage space with it. And that's pretty cheap. So like DigitalOcean's S3 compatible storage is 25 gig for $5, I think. It may be more than that. Let me look so I'm not saying the wrong thing.
Don't lie.
That doesn't sound like much. Starting at $5 a month, 250. I was off by, an order of magnitude.
Sorry, help my brain. Is this when you want to transfer a file to someone? Like a WeTransfer?
So you could use it that way. And I could do that with OwnCloud because I can create share links on specific files or folders.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume you can do that with S3 compatible stuff too, because I know you can do that on Amazon. So I would assume they all kind of have that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, S3 style things are just a block of storage. So DigitalOcean, for example, is $5 a month for 250 gig of storage.
Okay.
And with that, you get a terabyte of outbound transfer. If it was completely full of 250 gigabytes of data, you could send all of that out 4 times in a month before you're charged anything beyond the $5.
Wow.
And it costs nothing to transfer in. And then additional transfer is only a penny per gigabyte transferred out. And additional storage is only 2 pennies per gigabyte beyond the 250.
We're talking pennies here.
Yeah. So if you had 260, then, it'd be an extra,
10 pennies.
Cents, 20 cents. Yeah. Nothing. That's nothing.
It's nothing.
So seriously. It's really, really good, cheap stuff.
You can do a job on V123 and make that up right there.
There you go.
Pennies for everyone. Yeah.
You could do a job on Fiverr to pay for that. Well, you'd have to do two jobs on Fiverr because they're going to take 20%.
Yes.
But you'd have almost enough left over to get a hamburger if they were still priced the way they used to be.
And you get a penny.
And you can get a Whataburger.
Yeah.
So that's great stuff. And that's way, way, way more affordable than Amazon. Amazon S3 is great, but it's not cheap.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more difficult to understand the pricing model because they really, Amazon pricing is, the AWS services are incredibly vast. You can do absolutely anything with it, but understanding the pricing of it is, it's crazy. It's crazy.
101 reasons why I don't do information technology day in and day out. Because it's just, it hurts my brain. Sorry.
I like to watch people talk about it because they just go all, well, you got to know. Like, let me tell you something.
There's a lot to know.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of sending stuff to people, WeTransfer is what I use.
Sure.
Because there's a limit, but it's so big. Like, you're never going to hit the file size limit on a voiceover project.
No.
No, but I actually had to buy it this time. It's like, you're exceeding your limit.
Really?
Yeah.
Did they make you, moved over to Google Drive?
But you know what's really nice? You know what's really nice? I bought it so I can make my own page. So when they go to upload it, they get to see what I put on there. And you get to name it yourself. It's like your name.wetransfer.com or something like this. It's really cool.
Yeah. So it's the free version is
great.
2 gig is the transfer limit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's per transfer, I think.
I just know I was given a hard time. I'm like, fine, I'll buy it.
I don't know. I've never been that large, but.
But if you pay annually, $10 a month, you can send and receive up to 200 gig per transfer. Mm-hmm. And you get a terabyte of storage.
Oh, I didn't even see the storage. So I have more storage.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So you could upload files and just leave them there.
Yeah. I could. Yeah. Now that I know that.
But yeah, I just use it to send the final stuff.
Yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, voice files aren't that big. The biggest I've ever had was, you know, a couple hundred megabytes of WAV file. Because I almost always send a WAV and an MP3. And sometimes I'll send 4 files in place of one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I'll send a WAV and an MP3 that is, you know, just raw. It's still got a little bit of very basic stuff, but nothing, like no compression or anything crazy. And then the same MP3 and WAV that's been processed, depending on the client, right?
Sure.
Because if some clients aren't going to do anything, you know, like e-learning clients and corporate narration clients and stuff, oftentimes they're not going to do any processing. They're just going to take whatever you send and drop it in the timeline. So typically I'll send them a processed version and a not processed version. So then if they really want the not processed version, they can have it. But if they're just going to drop it in the timeline, at least there's a chance it'll sound decent.
I mean, I had a 3-minute raw audio, I'm just looking at it here, that I had to send over, and it was close to 52 megabytes. And then they wanted little tweaks here and there. So having to punch in whatever line or whatever, it ended up sending multiple things to the same client. And they're like, you need to buy this now. I'm like,
interesting.
Okay.
Hmm.
So
was this an update on an old project? Or was this corrections to something that
this was a correction. I mean, they had to pay more because they did more than like a 10% script rewrite. At first they just gave me, oh, you know what? This doesn't sound right. Let's just add this in. Okay. We added it in and they're like, they want to rewrite the entire thing. We want to focus more on the whatever versus
sure.
It was already one of those things where it was just all corporate jargon anyway. So
You had to get synergistically aligned.
I had to,
yes.
Had to upskill and leverage my talents.
Nice.
Hashtag FML. Yeah. When they pay, you're like, okay, yes, of course. How do you need that? I am happy to provide. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, that's the job, right?
100%. I'm not complaining. Just sometimes when, have you ever had a script where you're just reading it going, what are they really trying to say here?
Yeah.
What are they saying?
What are they hiding?
Corporate culture is fantastic. Is it?
I mean, I had a client that I booked through a pay-to-play and did a directed session.
Mm-hmm.
And the director and the client were not on the same page.
Oh, no.
So that was fun.
Wow.
But then afterward, they came back to me directly to do another thing, and they didn't exactly know what they wanted, so we went back and forth quite a few times to get it dialed in, and I ended up giving them a really, really good deal.
You just wanted to get off the phone with them.
I actually really enjoyed it and was hoping that it would become more long-term, more work, but I don't know if they ever actually even used any of the stuff we did in the first place.
Well, I think that there's
because of the pandemic and things were, you know, moving targets.
Right.
And so I'm not sure if they ever actually launched or not.
Hey, did they pay you?
They paid.
There you go.
They did.
They paid
on time, and they were wonderful to work with. I would work with them again in a heartbeat.
Apropos payments. So
yes,
I use Wise, the Wise app for.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. I don't have anybody taking fees for me, for the most part.
Isn't that the best?
It's gorgeous. I love it.
Yep.
I can tell it when to convert the euros to dollars once it hits a certain mark. It does it automatically for me and then does the transfer. I'm like, this is beautiful. If you have a lot of international clients, but you can use it here too. I don't know if a lot of American clients tend to want to use PayPal.
And I've used Bill.com, which worked really well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I have Wise and Bill.com.
Bill.com. Okay. I know. I have gotten to the point where I'm like, no, I'd rather have them send me a check and wait for it before I give my money to PayPal.
Sure.
But
that's what the TV station here in up in Duluth does for me.
They send a check?
Yeah, they send a check.
All right. But
you're in town, so it's got to only take like a day and a half to get there.
Yeah.
It spends.
Yeah.
Money's money. It's fine.
I got no problem getting a physical check.
Yeah.
Nope.
I deposit it with my phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To my virtual bank.
Right.
Yep.
Which goes, wait, is this your real name?
Yeah.
I've had the same thing. Same thing.
Yeah. I love the bank, but man, getting a straight answer out of them, whether or not they were going to accept the check.
Oh my gosh.
So when you
please explain.
I don't know how many banks do this, but at least a couple do. When you're going to do an electronic deposit by taking a picture with your phone and you send it through the app or whatever, they make you endorse the check, but then also say for deposit at bank, whatever. Right. And I've got no problem with that.
Sure.
If I know that they're going to accept the check. So I had one that was made out to me, but it was Will, not William, which on the bank,
how confusing,
it's my full name, and it's actually a business account, so they'd really prefer that it be in the business's name,
of course.
But they said it has to be in the business name or the name of the account holder. So you go, okay, but I am the account holder. It's the common shortened version of my name that I go by. Are you going to accept it?
Wow!
And
you could not get a straight answer.
I couldn't. I swear the chat had to have been like an AI chat.
Right.
Because I just could not get an answer. And like they didn't understand the question.
Yeah.
You kept yelling representative.
During a chat.
And finally, I was like, look, this is a, I don't want a detailed answer. This is a simple yes or no. Will you accept this check or not?
Yes.
Because if you won't, I'll just go cash it at my local bank and then I'll move the money, a different way. But it was several days.
I've been avoiding that, and I really should get a local bank because there's this bank, Bank of America, who it should actually be called Bank of America, except for where you live. because whenever if I want to deposit cash, I have to drive 2 hours down in Minneapolis because we don't have any Bank Americas in Duluth.
Oh,
well, to add more fun to this, I also have a Chase account, which should also be called Chase, other than where you live, because I also I have to go down
to Chase us around the country.
Yeah, I have to go down to Minneapolis for that too. Unfortunately, it looks like I'm going to end up having to open up a third account for Wells Fargo because they're the only bank in town.
Crazy.
Well, they at least are pretty much everywhere.
Not really.
Yeah.
I have a U.S. bank account.
U.S. bank.
Which pretty prevalent here in Minnesota.
Sure, sure. Don't move.
But there was a time where we were looking at moving to, you know, maybe Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't any in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
And so I was doing, you know, tax return stuff. And I was like, well, you know, if we move, I want to get the return. Nice. So I'd like to do a direct deposit, but I can't do it there because we might not have that bank account anymore. So I had to go open an account at Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I had Chase Bank tell me that I couldn't use a bank address as my personal address when I lived in New York, because I haven't, everywhere in New York is a multi-purpose building, right?
Sure.
Where residential at top, but there's usually businesses at the bottom. Well, the bottom of our apartment complex is a Chase Bank.
Oh,
my same
gosh.
Address.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can assure you I'm the residential portion of the same address because it's got our apartment number at the time.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, but representative. Representative.
Was this someone local in New York that was telling you this?
No.
Or from?
I mean, it was Chase. It was Chase Bank.
Sure, but they have no idea what the how the buildings are set up.
Clearly, I was like,
it was
guys,
very confusing to them.
I understand, but this is kind of New York, and we have the same address, but it's the same one as the bank branch. Like,
but address line 2,
right?
That specifies the floor and the suite.
Exactly,
is part of the address.
I know.
I'm on the 50th floor of the bank.
You live at a hotel?
Well, I own the hotel and I live there. My life is very much like Monopoly.
It was really crazy.
Well, that's just one of our meeting rooms.
I know, right? It was really bizarre. It was one of those things that I'm like, okay, can I just talk to your manager? So that was
No, you did not do that.
I totally Karen'd. I did. Before Karen was a thing, I was a Karen. Yeah. Or a Becky. But yeah.
So
Karen
Wise
was never Crow.
WISE.com.
Yes.
Wise
is
good. If you're not familiar, it lets you open bank accounts all over the world so that you can get paid in local currency, usually by a bank transfer, which, by the way, if you're also unaware, is way more common in Europe than here.
Huh.
You know, people are more interested in writing a check or using their card here, but bank transfers are kind of the norm in Europe.
I mean, even when I lived there, decades ago now at this point, people
you're
were giving...
You're not that old.
Yeah. People were
You're 21.
I know.
Again.
One decade ago.
Yeah. But they were using their bank account information with routing numbers and things like that, which are common now. But at the time, I'm like, what do you want my bank account number for? It was really suspect. Like, no, that's not how we're doing this. But they're like,
I'm
wow.
protecting this information.
Yes.
Yeah. But
I have this written down in my little notebook.
Right.
Understandably, the euro has made it so much easier. But if you have clients in the UK too, Wise will... You know, they'll take all of the local currencies.
Most of them. I don't think they take them all, but they take
probably not
most.
All. Yeah. But
pretty much anywhere that you're going to book work.
Yeah.
Yep. I've done the UAE, I've done the UK and Europe with the euros. So.
And there's still a cost to transfer the money between those accounts and between countries. But it's not terrible.
No, not at all.
It's
especially
like
when you can wait.
I think it's less than credit card fees.
Oh, 100%. It's a lot less than PayPal. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I do not like using PayPal.
If you only need one reason, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I use, for invoicing, I use Wave Apps, which is free for a lot of things. And they've got, you know, nice invoicing software. And they'll accept payment by ACH or credit card, but only within the U.S. So if you have a client outside the U.S., you can still send them an invoice, but you're going to want to send... If you want to make a payment, I'd prefer you make a payment by bank transfer or whatever, or wire transfer. Let me know and I'll send you that information, you know, because you can't put it into the invoice. And you can't do a regular ACH is, you know, a bank transfer, but just domestically.
Right. I have my own template that I use for invoicing. I made the mistake of letting PayPal do it for me and then they took an additional fee.
What?
Fun. So the bank that I use, and I think you're with the same bank, Novo.
Novo.
Yep. They have invoicing as well,
but they
which
well,
is free.
It's not free.
The invoicing is free. The invoice is free.
The transfer
processing
is not.
The payment is not.
Right. That's why I don't
but
use it.
But that's because it's a third party. It's a third party system. They use Stripe, I think, primarily. But they'll also support Square and PayPal as well. And all of them have fees because that's how those companies make money, right? Like PayPal makes its money on that 3% plus whatever fee.
Sure.
That's how all payment processors make money.
Yeah. I mean, I get it, but I feel like they've really raised their fees at PayPal so much. Like even, I remember my sister sent something for a fundraiser for my son's baseball team. Even so, she sent it friends and family. They still took money from it.
Which I believe they discontinued.
Well, yeah. So I think they did that because they know that a lot of people were using it for business stuff.
Yeah.
And like, hey, if you're going to pay me friends and family. But, right. you know, come on. You're obviously like booking a demo or something. That's not a friends and family payment.
Right.
you're not sending $50 to little Billy for his birthday. You know.
No.
Oh, $5,000 to demo producer
that
X.
That must be a really nice
We're
friend.
Good friends.
Really good friend.
Giving him money. So I think that's really why that happened.
Yeah.
Why that went away.
But I'm trying to think of some other things that we use.
Voice overview.
Oh, yes. Good one.
Voice overview is wonderful. I track all of my, I'm not as good at it as I should be, but I try to track all of my expenses there. I track all of my jobs there, and I track all of my auditions. Now, for the auditions, it's just a number, right? I'm ticking the box like, okay, I did like 7 agent auditions today and 3 pay-to-plays or whatever. But I've got a number per day.
Right.
And then I've got the number for the month. And so then I can see like, okay, I auditioned, 300 times last month and I booked 1.
Wow.
Neither of those numbers are correct.
Do you have the phone version of that or is there a phone version of that?
It's a web app.
Okay.
So you could open it on your phone. It's relatively responsive. You could use it on a phone.
Yeah.
The calendar is a little squishy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could use it on a phone.
I'm looking it up now.
Voice overview is super helpful. I think you actually shared it with me, Will, at the first conference where I met you there. And I loved it because I could put in all the travel expenses. And it's really helpful for your business to be able to kind of track that. And then go ahead and download the entire spreadsheet, send that to the accountant or whoever's doing taxes. Yep.
And like, they added that last year.
So nice.
To export, your expenses and income in the right format for the accountant.
Yes. Awesome.
Which I do my own, so whatever, but.
I don't do math, so.
You keep saying that.
I'm proud of that.
I probably shouldn't, but I'm cheap and I don't want to pay somebody else to do, what I can do myself, even though I hate doing it.
I hate doing it because they know exactly
since I already
how much
have
we
to pay,
owe. Can we talk
Since
about that?
Since I already have to pay money that I don't feel like I should ever have to pay anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to pay somebody else too.
But they know how much they want from us. Why do they make me do the math?
Yeah.
Just give me a bill. What do you think you owe?
That's enough on that topic.
Yeah. Let's move along.
Or we will light our booths on fire and
you
said booths,
never hear from us again.
Right? Or booths.
I said booths.
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 The 2 utes.
Yeah, the utes.
Boots.
Yeah. What other kind of apps do you need as a voice actor?
Well, there's the DAW, obviously.
Yeah, it sounds like we're all using something different. You're using Reaper.
I use Reaper.
You use...
And I think you both use Audition, right?
I use Audacity. I love it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I heard him say that earlier.
Okay.
For what I do, which is a lot of long form, and I do some e-learning and such, you're not over-processing it. So it's in my studio, it's very clean. It does exactly what I need it to do. Maybe one day I'll grow up and I'll get Adobe Audition, but right now, I've never had the need.
Well,
I was using Audacity for a long time, but then I moved over to Adobe Audition because I was getting to the point where I couldn't upgrade my operating system without it perhaps conflicting with the current version of Audacity. So I got tired of so I ended up using Twisted Wave for a while, which was fine. Yep. It's very basic. Did the job that Audacity could do.
Sure.
And then something happened with that where it just kind of got crashed and burned. So I went, okay. And I was looking at Reaper and I was looking at Audition and, I don't know. I think I just went with an Adobe product because I knew it. I knew it from back in radio. That's what we're using at the broadcast station.
Yeah. Cool Edit.
Oh, that's true. Cool Edit.
Yeah.
Well, but even without that background, Audition looks a lot more approachable initially when you first look at it.
Yeah.
Reaper looks scary because it's got lots of buttons and knobs and it comes configured for music production out of the box, which we're not doing. But it's very configurable and you can strip all that back and make it just a very basic tool.
But Al, it could be good for you.
Could
if
be
you're
good
doing
for
any
me.
Music. Yeah. No music. No more music.
No music.
Okay.
Well.
All right.
Even so, could be good for you.
Could be good for
Unlike Audition,
yes.
There's not a monthly subscription.
Reaper?
I don't pay monthly. Thank you very much.
There's not an annual subscription either.
I hate subscriptions so much. Indeed.
You pay for the license, and if you're under, there's a discounted license for personal and commercial.
It's an outright.
Well, Yes and no. It is a full license for two major releases. So if you bought it now, you would be good until Reaper 9 comes out. Mm-hmm. Then you would have to buy it again.
Gotcha.
But there's lots of point releases before it'll get there. That would be good for at least 2-3 years.
Can I just say I don't like the name of it?
Why?
Grim Reaper.
It's like, no. Got nothing to do with that.
I know.
It's actually an acronym.
It's kind of why I liked Twisted Wave. Like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Like the new wave.
You're Twisted.
Yeah.
Wave.
Totes. So there's that.
So it's actually an acronym. Rapid Environment for Audio Production, Engineering, and Recording.
I got the audio right.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had it.
Reaper is really powerful. Reaper is on par with Pro Tools. Reaper will do everything Pro Tools will do with fewer restrictions because Pro Tools limits the number of tracks you can have. Reaper doesn't.
Yeah. It always just seems like overkill for what we do.
Well, it depends on what you do, right?
Yeah. Well, if it comes out the box ready for music, may not be of interest. If I've got to strip it down.
It's not difficult to strip it down. And then you save that stripped down thing as the default template. Hmm. So you do it one time and you're done.
Okay.
But then for, you know, for like punch in or punch and roll, you can configure exactly how much pre-roll you want, if you want pre-roll or not.
Sure.
You can have it do multiple takes where it'll like stack up the takes on top of each other instead of going over top and replacing. Where it's really super useful for voiceover is the rendering part of it and regions. So say you're doing a very large e-learning project that's going to have lots of file splits.
Yep.
You could record the thing straight through and then go back and mark out the regions for each of the file splits and then render the project regions instead of rendering everything and splitting it up after.
Do that.
Or recording just one module and then rendering and then another module and then rendering. So you could record the whole thing as one big timeline and then mark out the sections for each file.
Right.
And name the regions accordingly. And then when you render it, like you're not renaming files or doing any of that. It's all based
automated.
So
Audition will do the same thing.
Yeah. I think Audacity has a version of that where you can do the file breakdown and file naming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. File splits.
The other thing about it that's really nice is that an Audition, I think, can do this, but effects are not applied until you render, but you can still preview it with the effect on.
Yes.
So if you're going to do, you know, compression or whatever you're doing, you can apply that to the track. You can fiddle with it and make it sound right. And you can listen to it with that on. You can record with it with that on, but it won't get baked in until you render. So then if you have to come back later and, you know, do a correction or whatever, you make your change. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like unapply or reapply or none of that stuff. You just find the right spot. You make the change and you render and you're done.
Nice.
So, but Audition has the heel, the auto heel thing, which is lovely.
Yeah,
especially
that's cool.
For stomach growling.
That's cool. Same. Like that's probably like
when do you ever need
the
that,
most
Victoria?
Attractive feature of Audition because nobody else has it. Although Reaper has something kind of similar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to use compared to that. And Isotope has something like that too. And really there's no reason to not have Isotope RX.
True.
Unless you're never sending anything but raw, right? Say you're only ever doing commercial work and you're only ever sending auditions and then doing live sessions,
mm-hmm.
then you don't need it. But if you're doing audiobook work or e-learning or corporate narration or anything where you're sending finalized or even just close to finalized edits, you're going to want the declicker and all the other stuff. Like I'm getting super clicky right now, but no one will know because I'll run all that.
Nice.
It'll sound great.
Source Connect.
Source Connect, yeah. Which one?
Standard.
Source Connect
Standard.
Now is no longer a thing. It's been replaced by Nexus.
Right. I bought Standard about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Outright.
Yep.
I haven't used it yet.
That's
why I'm glad I bought it.
I'm still paying for it monthly.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I bought it, because you never know when you're going to need it.
Yeah.
But I was in the middle of a big project. It was paying. So I said, let's buy it, and I won't have to worry about it. And
sure.
I'm glad.
Smart.
Yeah, well.
You're ready.
You'd have been... You're past the break-even point. If I remember right, the break-even point's like 18 months, 19 months.
Then yes.
Did I do that? No.
Now this changed. The new one that they've got. This affects only now, not Standard, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
But it's also a vast improvement over Source Connect now. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if things just go that way eventually.
Hmm.
It's interesting. I've used it. It's free, but it's also paid. Well, so there's a free tier. And the free tier gives you anything you would need for basically Source Connect standard session. It's audio based. There's no video on the free tier. And it's kind of like there's no routing,
right?
I don't think. So it's whatever's coming through is what you get. You don't, with the paid level, you get multiple IO. So you could have, you know, 5 or 10 people on there and route everything so that they're each on their own track and can each hear each other, but not themselves and, you know, all that stuff. But you also, with the paid level, get video. So kind of like our interface here now. And then there's also a button that lets the person record locally. It's not automatic. They have to hit it. But so then I could record a backup locally within the browser, like we're doing here with Zencastr.
Sure.
And then send it after the fact. I don't think it uploads automatically, but yeah, I used it once.
Will they sponsor us?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, right.
They might.
I love Zencastr.
Yes, we do. We love Zencastr. I know with, it was the very first time I've had Source Connect standard forever. Mm-hmm. And then I was a little disappointed because I had a session with this awesome project and they use Source Connect now. Where most of a lot of the specs say must be Source Connect standard, in caps, not now, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay. And here was a studio using Source Connect now. So that was kind of cool. Like, all right. And then Session Link is one they like to use too. Super easy to use. Gosh.
There's a whole bunch of them.
There's
a whole bunch of them. IPDTL or IPDTL is another one. That one's really big in Europe.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also fully compatible with ISDN, which is kind of cool. If you had to have a ISDN connection, you can use that and connect to an actual physical ISDN hardware somewhere. And they've also got day passes, which...
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. I actually wrote a blog post about this a while ago, so I'm pulling that up. CleanFeed.
Oh, that's it. Okay. CleanFeed. Yep. That's a nice interface.
Sonobus, that one's cool because it does like jitter correction and stuff. It's kind of intended for musicians. Anybody can use it for anything. Connection Open is another one. Session Link Pro, I think you mentioned. And then Studio Link. This Studio Link is cool. You would like it. It's in German.
Yeah, of course. of course, the technology is perfect. Yeah.
So those of us that don't speak German have to translate the site to understand how to get around. The app itself is not in German, but the website is. So it's a app that you download that starts, I think it fires up like a local server and then opens a web browser that points at it. If I remember right, that's how it works. But it also has plugins that you can install in the DAW so that if you're able to use a plugin as an audio source, which you can in some but not all, then you can record easily with it because it's a plugin. You don't need like loopback software.
I was just going to ask you. Yes. I was like, talk about it. Good.
Yep.
Loopback. Tell us about that one.
So loopback is cool. So if you are on a session and you want to be able to play what you've recorded down the line, like if you're connecting to a client on Zoom,
right,
or Skype or whatever, and they want to hear what you just recorded, or you do a quick edit and you want to play it for them, you need to be able to loop back from the output from your DAW back into your interface and down the line to them. Now, some interfaces have that built in. I think probably most do not. On Windows, there's free software called Voice Meter, and there's a variety of versions of that. There's Voice Meter, Voice Meter Banana, and Voice Meter Potato. The names are dumb, and it's M-E-E-T-E-R. Meter. On the Mac, the probably most popular one is called Loopback. It's from Rogue Amoeba, and basically it just lets you map or route audio output from specific apps to specific places. So you can create inputs from those apps into channels that get, you know, the channels that show up in your DAW then if you're using that interface or that device, and they're just virtual. And I don't think there's a limit.
Right.
And then you can send it to the monitoring output. So, for example, if I want to send output from Reaper down the line on Zoom, then I have Reaper set up as an input as well as my mic. My mic goes through to the channel 1 and 2 or whatever output, and Reaper also then goes through to channel 1 and 2 output. So I'm able to hear it, and it's also sending down the line because I have that set up then as the mic. They get to hear it. Pretty cool. And I'm probably not doing a very good job of explaining it, but it's very easy to use. It's graphic.
So for me,
you drag and drop.
There's two things I would use it for. One is if I'm on a coaching session and I want to be able to hear what my coach is saying to me and have that recorded, because otherwise it's just going to be me recording myself and not hearing my coach. Right.
So using Loopback. You'll be responding to things they say, but then when you listen back later, you have no idea what they said.
Right. Yeah. Unless I went, you know, like that. But the other part is, so you could do like music and do, I'm going to call it karaoke, but if there is an audition that you need to have the music, that it's so it's synchronized, that it's not me just singing without the, you know, laying the audio track separately. It's all together, if that makes sense.
Now, is that a Mac product or is it
Loopback
PC?
Is, yes. Oh, okay. Loopback is. Now, there's another one that I haven't used, but it's, I suspect that it's fantastic because it's like high-end pro audio stuff from, you may be familiar, Dante. They do like live mixing stuff.
Yeah. Hmm.
They have an app called VIA, V-I-A, Dante VIA. And it's the same kind of idea. It lets you map software outputs to different inputs, virtual inputs. And you can also send it around over TCP/IP. So you could send it from one computer to another on the network, for example. I want to say it's about $100 and it is cross-platform. So I've not used it, but you could use that same app on Mac or Windows. So that might be ultimately the best option. But the nice thing about Loopback and or any of these tools really is you have, because it's not just routing the audio around, you're routing it to different inputs and outputs. You can have, like you said, you're on a Skype call or a Zoom call or something, you can have the audio coming from that get recorded on track two while your mic is being recorded on track one, and then they stay in sync. So then if you're editing, like say we were doing this without this software, you know, that's basically how we would do it, is your audio would come in and I would put, you know, one of you on track two and the other on track three, and I'd be on track one, and there it is. But this makes that easier. But yeah, I do the same thing when I'm on a coaching session. I'll feed myself into track one and the other end on track two, and I'll record it. And then I have that so that I can go back and reference it in the future. You know, like, oh, what was the thing that they were talking about? I can go back and listen, and I can hear what I said and what they said, and, you know, or feedback on a particular read that we were working on or whatever. And it just, it's so much easier, but it's all, it's still separate. So, you know, if, for example, we were working on an audition that I was actually about to submit, I could hear my performance and their feedback and figure out which take was best or cobble something together or whatever. And I could actually submit it because the two voices were separate. So even if we talked over each other, they're recorded separately. So it doesn't matter.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome tools.
Loopback is cool.
Yep.
There are a ton of tools. We're just kind of scratching the surface, but that's really the big ones that we use all the time, right? I will put links to all of them in the show notes.
Show notes.
Cool.
Well, thank you. I feel like we got the bigger picture of these things just because we have your expertise with the technology bit. Or, you know, me, myself, I'm not going to speak for Al, but for me, I'm just a user. I know enough to make some damage. And then usually I have to call somebody like, hey, can you fix this?
Can you undo my damage?
Yeah.
Why doesn't this sound right?
I was working on a project, and it's not working now.
Did you try turning it off and back on again?
Hey.
Thank you, Mr. IT.
Yes,
it's amazing how often that fixes things.
Although I did two restarts yesterday, and I reached out to Will. I was like, it's not recording my mic. My audition did not. I could hear. My interface was working perfectly. Everything was fine, except when I hit record, I had no inputs. And I double checked everything. It said it was supposed to, everything was mapped properly.
But
don't know what happened.
Well, I had a similar thing happen to me just recently. Like, I suddenly noticed that the output when I would play back was way quieter than my direct monitoring, right? So while I'm recording, I'm hearing myself direct coming out of the output of the interface directly to my ears. It's not going through the computer first. But then when I would play back, it was 6 to 8 dB lower.
Oh, geez.
Like, well, that's not right. Never used to be.
But did we ever find out why?
Yeah, I did find out why. So what it was I had Loopback was turned on and was hijacking the output of Reaper.
Gotcha.
Which shouldn't matter, but apparently that was enough that it was just like siphoning some of the volume off. So what was coming back through to me was just lower.
Huh.
So I turned it off and it was back to normal again.
Oh, wild.
Yeah.
I had to unplug my microphone and put it in a different port, a different channel. Like, all right, let's play stupid. That's what we did. And it worked.
So. When there's a problem and you have to rewire your studio, you've got a problem.
Yeah. Well, and that's a good time to call somebody like George the Tech or Uncle Roy.
Uncle Roy. Yep.
Yes.
And if you do have Adobe Audition and you haven't scheduled time with Uncle Roy on that,
he
changed my life. He totally changed my life with that. That was so great. Yep. So that's why he calls it life-changing.
There's a reason that those two in particular are consistently recommended because lots of people could sort things out, but they're both very willing to hop on a call and are very available and they'll get you sorted out.
And they know their stuff. They totally know their stuff.
Yeah.
You're not going to get,
And they're both just genuinely pretty awesome people. So,
yes.
What if we can get them on the call?
I bet we could. I bet we could get them both on a call or individually.
Awesome. Yes. Let's make that a thing.
Well, this episode is airing VO Atlanta just ended yesterday. So I'm on the plane. I'm probably editing
welcome back.
The plane home.
Excellent. So, welcome back.
Thank you. And we'll be recording a new one tomorrow or the next day because this is really better. This is the last one we'll have in the can.
Right.